Thanks for joining me, and welcome to Dr. Liz on Leading Through Crisis.
Hi, I'm Liz Bywater. I'm president of Bywater Consulting Group. And as an executive advisor, I work with senior leaders in a variety of organizations and their teams to navigate through challenging times, pivot through change, and succeed and thrive no matter what the circumstance. Today, I'm joined by one of my favorite people, Debbie Visconi. Debbie is president and chief executive officer of Bergen Newbridge Medical Center in Paramus, New Jersey. So Debbie, thank you so much for being here with me today.
Thank you, Liz. Thanks for having me with you today. I'm honored to be here. Thank you.
That's wonderful. Debbie and I were speaking before we got on the call. We always have great conversations, so hopefully we'll have some things that are of interest to folks who are listening into us today. Just for a little backdrop, Debbie, I'm thinking you and I must know each other for about 10 years now.
It is 10 years, actually. Yep, it is. Yeah. It is. Yeah.
So I was working with a number of senior leaders, executive officers over at Atlantic Health Systems, and you had just been hired by David Shulkin as essentially chief operating officer for Morristown Memorial, right?
And
we did some work on kind of transitioning into the organization and getting to know your team and doing all of those important things to be successful. And the 10 years have flown by, what I call
it. It is 10 years. It was 2010.
Wow.
So you're spot on.
Yeah. Well, and you're doing fantastic things now in your role, at Newbridge. And we want to spend a couple of minutes making sure we talk about that. Don't let me forget, before we get off our call today, I want to make sure that if people want to learn more about the work you're doing over at the hospital, they can learn more, maybe get onto the website, whatever you think
sure.
is the best path.
Absolutely.
So make sure to do that. The reason really we're talking today and the reason that I'm doing this podcast series is to help leaders in all kinds of capacities, whether CEO of a hospital or somebody who's a civic leader or actually a leader within your family trying to help your children and your partner get through the difficulty of COVID-19 and the pandemic, but to provide some pragmatic advice, some inspiration, create some dialogue around what are the factors that have to be thought through and acted on to really be useful and energized and successful even in such difficult times as we're facing today.
Yeah.
So I've got a number of questions. I know I had given you an idea of a few things we might talk about, but it's just a conversation, so we can
Absolutely.
Go in whatever direction we need to. But I wanted to start with kind of a broad question for you, which is, how has this pandemic changed the way you lead, whether it's the way you show up, the way you think about leadership, I guess the first question is, has it in any ways changed the way you lead?
Yeah, I was given that a lot of thought. And, I think that for me as a leader, it hasn't changed. I think it's enhanced my leadership style and, how I've grown as a leader. With every day, I believe that we all grow as individuals and certainly as leaders. And during this pandemic is no exception to that. So, I think the things that were important to me as a leader and, really have shown to be vital during this pandemic are things like transparency. Many people use that word freely, but this really takes transparency to another level. It's being able to stand in front of your employees, your staff, your community, your government stakeholders, and tell everyone exactly what's going on in your medical center. Even the things people don't want to talk about or hear about, like deaths and people getting sick and the number of patients that are coming through the doors, those are uncomfortable things to talk about. And so, for me, transparency has been a huge asset. Courage, to say you're the CEO of a medical center, but yet, we've had X amount of deaths, it takes a lot of courage. Nobody wants to say they've had any deaths. Mm-hmm. But to be able to stand up there and say, we have deaths and we're not immune to COVID. And, to be able to, I say, wear your heart on your sleeve in some ways, that really does apply here. I'm able to say to my staff, I'm with you because I'm scared too. I don't know what this thing is. I've been through a lot in my career and I've survived a lot and we're resilient, but you know what? I'm scared along with you because we don't know what's going to happen. And as this continued to emerge for us, it continued to test those things that we hold dear, which is, you know, we know how to treat a disease. You know, we've done this before, but yet it kept coming and kept killing people and kept infecting people and things just kept emerging on us. So resilience, you know, is also comes to the test of leadership during this time. You know, it's being there by your staff side every single day, day and night, weekends, and whether you're there in person or whether you're there behind an email or whether you're walking the floors or, you know, just being by their side and them knowing that you're there and really showing the courage and really recognizing them. So there's a lot of recognition that comes into play. And yeah, I struggle with that too. And that, you know, you always want to thank your staff and say you're heroes and you're great. But then sometimes you listen to them and they're like, you know, we're not heroes. This is what we do. Mm. And so you have to respect that boundary as well. So, you know, some of those things are challenged in times like this.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And I think in each of the things that you mentioned, you know, transparency and courage and resilience and recognizing people and all of those important things, there is a shifting balance over time, mm-hmm. right? And in times of crisis, I imagine certain things you have to emphasize more and then dial it back, really kind of reading the impact as you go. Would you say that's part of what you do?
Oh, absolutely. The other key thing is communication. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you always think of yourself as a great communicator. I mean, we all do. But in a time like this, you know, the communication, I won't even say it's a skill, but it's an ability to communicate broadly, effectively, and constantly. I mean, all I do, you know, aside from supporting staff on the ground, I feel like I'm in college again. I write all day long, you know, whether I'm writing, I have a daily email that goes out to the staff every single day. It has words of inspiration, words of encouragement. I always highlight a particular unit, department, person, tell stories, and then I give them, you know, the news. It's how many positives we have, how many people have died, how many people have recovered. So we always try to bring people, ground people, like, yeah, this is really bad, but you know what? We're going to get out of it. Mm-hmm. So communication is another pillar that I think really has changed and will continue to evolve as this thing continues to evolve.
Yes, you know, it's interesting because working a lot with senior leaders, you know, I've always told my clients, communicate, communicate, communicate. You can't do it too much. You know, you have to do it right and you have to balance it and so forth, but you can't do too much of it. And I think in times of crisis, there's no more important time because people are anxious and uncertain and they need direction and information. Yeah. So,
Yeah, it's been huge. It's been huge. And, you know, I know that it's been effective when people use your own emails against you.
Sounds like that's happened once or twice.
So in your fourth email, then you said this, but also people see me in the halls and they're like, you know, we look forward to your daily email and, you know, and people, you don't realize the power of that. When people like look forward to hearing the voice and, you know, whether it's inspirational or just facts, just knowing what's going on in the hospital and the many pockets in, especially in a place 24-hour, you know, operation, a hospital, the per diem people, the part-time people, the ones that aren't there day in and day out, it's important for them to hear the voice, you know, on a regular basis. So that's been crucial.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it sort of brings me into my next question, which is thinking about in such a difficult time as this pandemic has brought upon us, you know, one of the jobs of a leader is to create some sense of optimism and hope, you know, not Pollyanna, but encouragement and inspiration. And, you know, what is it that you would say has been most effective as you try to instill that in, whether it's your staff, patients, families, you know, other stakeholders, government bodies, et cetera? How are you bringing some genuine, believable hope and confidence to the people around you?
So it's about really being honest and forthright and sharing the facts and trying to erase or dispel the myths and the rumors. And you take the myths and the rumors face on and you say, I know you've heard this, but here's the truth. Or let me reference a CDC guideline, a Department of Health, or, you know, you leverage, as a leader, you leverage your, you know, your position in the industry. So I sit on the New Jersey Hospital Association board, so I can speak with authority on what we're doing as an advocacy, as an industry. I sit on one of the AHA, American Hospital Association regional policy board, so I can bring a regional experience and a regional voice to the table, you know, really working with our clinical leaders, you know, and tapping into their knowledge base and their connections and bringing that to the table so that, you know, you feel, the employees feel confidence that you're not just saying things, it's based on the facts that we have at the time. You know, these things continuously change as the virus has been changing, but, you know, you bring them credibility. You bring credibility to the table when you're in a good position within your market, within your industry, and you have others surround you that are experts in the field as well.
Which is, I think, such an important point. So, you know, as a leader, sometimes I'd imagine you feel like you have to have all the answers at your disposal. But of course, it's never possible. And in times like this, it's absolutely not possible because there's so much emerging information and things change all the time. And there are so many contributors to mastering this thing. So it sounds like part of what you're saying is not going up there and saying, oh, I have all the answers, I'll tell you, but I will learn, I will get out there, I'll gain information, I'll share with you what I learn as I learn it. Is that pretty accurate?
That's exactly right. Yeah, and again, the transparency comes into play and just saying, look, I really don't know. This is what we're following, the guidance of the experts, whether they be the CDC or the Department of Health or the Commissioner of Health or whomever it is. We're following their guidance and we're learning as we go along. A lot of the credibility does stem from the employees recognizing that, you know, we're just as human as they are. But when we do have credible information to share and things to bring forth, you know, they do believe and support what we're trying to accomplish. And you know, and I always tell my employees, you know, if you have ideas or if you've heard something, or share it with us because we want to learn with you. So, you know, bring us your ideas. You learn mostly from the people on the ground how to make a difference.
100%. Yeah. Communication is not all from you to them, right? Yes. It's got to be dynamic. You've got to be pulling from the people who are on the front lines of, what we could today call really a battle, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, it's not business as usual.
At all.
Yeah. Yeah. Debbie, do you have a story you might want to share about, you know, something really inspirational that you've observed either among your staff or patients, families within the community, that you might want to highlight or showcase?
Well, I think there's a lot of incredible stories that have come from this. And I always say it's the stars in the dark of the night that have emerged from this crisis. And those stars are that of the bonding of humanity. No matter what level we're at, no matter who we are, we're literally all in this together. And so what we've seen over the last couple of months is communities coming forth to support our employees, our staff, our frontline heroes. You see it all over the place. You know, heroes work here. But, you know, the signs, the writing in chalk on our sidewalks, thank you. This was a really sweet one, I thought. Our psychiatric residents, our doctors that are training the residents, they wrote me a letter and they said, you know, they really wanted to thank the nurses and the social workers and all the staff that were caring for the patients at the hospital. And they asked permission to use, you know, the sidewalk chalk. I guess they had seen it somewhere else. And it was just so sweet because, you know, these are young doctors coming into the field. They're in the middle of this tremendous crisis. And, you know, they're psychiatric residents. So there's all this emotional stuff that they're dealing with their patients. And I said, of course, sure, right on the sidewalks. And it was so nice. They just put things of love messages and, you know, love the psychiatry residents. I thought that was such a sweet gesture and such a nice moment in time, you know, employees recognizing each other. Mm-hmm. We've seen, again, communities, all kinds of yesterday, a young girl's soccer team had made these little goodie bags that they wanted to give to either staff or patients that were in the middle of the COVID, and they dropped it off at the hospital. We've seen so many donations of the handmade masks come to our staff. And so it's, to me, it's been a whole of community really coming together to recognize what we do. Our staff is fed round the clock with food donations. I don't know what's going to happen when this is over. You know, we're going to starve to death because it's been just incredible. Snacks and water and food and meals and, you know, air mattresses were donated to our staff. So I think there's a lot of that that we see. And so it's hard to pinpoint one particular story, but certainly, you know, when we discharge our first COVID patient that was on a ventilator, you know, you see this in the news as well, you know, the clap outs. So all of that coming together has really been heartwarming.
Yeah, it's been great. Absolutely. Yeah, it's interesting. I've seen, and maybe you've seen this too, people writing poems and so on about sort of us all being in this same thing together. And I've seen some back and forth where people say, well, we're all in the same boat. And other people say, well, we're not all in the same boat. And some people are sick and have family members or on front lines. But I think the nicest comeback I've seen to that is, well, maybe we're not all in the same boat, but we're all in the same storm.
Yeah, that is true. That is actually true. We may not be in the same boat, but we're certainly in the same deep water.
We certainly are, yeah.
Yeah,
well, you know, you made me think, too, of something we were talking about a little bit recently, which is, you know, I would imagine that going through this crisis and the need for so much group effort, community effort, industrial effort to get to the other side of it must change the dynamic in some ways between you and Newbridge Medical Center and on one side and maybe some other area hospitals that could potentially have been seen as competitors for a limited number of patients, Medicare dollars, and so on. Is that accurate? Has there been a change in that relationship? And, you know, what are you seeing?
Yeah, actually, that is one of those bright stars, too, in the dark here. You know, yes, we could all be perceived as competitors, you know, pre-March. Yeah. But what I've seen and experienced really firsthand is all the CEOs of the hospitals in New Jersey, certainly in our region, you know, we are in Bergen County, we've all bonded together. You know, we have group texts with each other. We call each other on our cell phones all hours of the day and night, asking each other for best practices, ideas, suggestions, and really practical things like, hey, Deb, do you have a couple of ventilators I can borrow? Or, you know, I'm calling my colleagues saying, hey, I'm really short on gowns. Anybody have any that you can lend me? You know, to more practical things and much more, you know, again, we're learning together. So best practices, what are people doing with some of the drugs that are on the market? Are you using them prophylactically? Are you not using them? You know, where are you with, you know, what are we going to do with asymptomatic testing of employees? You know, what if they test positive? Are we going to put them out for 14 days? You know, so I think that that unity of the healthcare community has really been, I mean, it was there to a certain, you know, in a certain extent, but this has really taken it to a whole other level.
Yeah, absolutely. And it sounds like there's such a need for it now, although it wouldn't necessarily have to play out as well as it is, but this sense that everyone wins when there's a collaborative, unifying effort rather than who gets there first. I mean, there's just no time and space for that at this point.
Yep. No one cares. All we care about is saving lives and providing access and being there for our communities when they need us.
Yes.
You know, so that's been really refreshing to have that newly established relationship with my peers.
Absolutely. And have you thought at this point, and maybe it's premature because there's so much going on, but have you thought about how do you continue that once the crisis has passed? How do you take hold of the positive changes and build on them rather than sort of going back to business as usual when all this is said and done?
Yeah, I was thinking about that, you know, myself, and I'm thinking, you know, I don't think we'll ever go back to the way things were. I think the relationships that have been fostered this last few months, I think they're so powerful and we're so real that I think that we're going to stay bonded this way for a long time.
I think that's fantastic.
That's my hope.
Yeah, yeah. Well, but you know what? It has to start with hope, and then you add hope and some action, right?
Action.
It can happen, and some continuity over time, and calling people out when things slip back, say, wait, wait, we committed, we're going to keep this thing going.
Yeah, I agree.
Change
I agree.
Starts to stick.
Yeah.
Are there other sorts of changes you're seeing either emerge or accelerate in terms of, you know, in your space, healthcare, new technologies, different ways of delivering service, other sorts of innovations that either were backburnered or simply weren't seen as feasible until now?
Oh, yeah, huge. I mean, we turned things around as an industry in record time. There was no holes barred. We did what we had to do. You know, telemedicine, telehealth was a huge movement forward. You know, in the past, we were thinking and evaluating and searching and shopping and, you know, do we have money? Do we not have? And it was sort of like, we got to do this now. And it didn't matter. We brought in computers. We brought in a platform. We turned it on. We trained people, you know, in record time. But there was also a relaxation of regulatory burdens, if you will. You know, there was a lot of different things that we were able to do during this crisis, that in, you know, if we were ever to go back to normal, we're not, you know, because just the bureaucracy of healthcare, things we have to get approval for. And so, with the help of our governor and our, Department of Health commissioner, you know, they really relaxed a lot of things that helped hospitals move much more rapidly to implement things. So telehealth certainly being a huge example of that. I guess that's probably the biggest innovation. But even things like meetings like this, you know, having meetings on Zoom or WebEx meetings, you know, really saving a lot of time and energy of, you know, that maybe not, we would not, we had the technology, we just probably didn't use it as much. So I think that was a good thing that's emerging from this, you know, use of medications and just innovative ways to deliver care. Yes. Especially in the emergency departments and using space differently. You know, I hope that we don't go back to normal in certain regard, because I think our ability to be much more efficient in the delivery of care. And, you know, in some ways, even better for patients. You know, if you don't have to come to a hospital for your ambulatory visit, you know, and you can do it on a telehealth visit, that would be great, you know. So I think things like that were really, really, really helpful.
Yeah, yeah. It is amazing in times where things have to move more quickly, how much more quickly they can move. Mm-hmm. You know, when you take away some of the deliberation and the resistance and, well, it's never been done this way or can never be done that way. And suddenly, well, let's give this a try. And things
move
so much more quickly.
It was, you know, even small things internally, you know, one of our divisions had been resisting going to electronic billing. Mm-hmm. They wanted to stay on paper, whatever, whatever. So, you know, we were trying to convince them and talk to them and get by and yada, yada. But all of a sudden when this hit, they were like, "What? When can we do electronic billing?" And I'm like, let's take advantage. Yeah. Turn that on.
Necessity is the mother of invention, right?
Yeah, you know. So, we've done some creative things. We've done some creative things.
Yeah. And my guess, you know, knowing you and knowing the kind of leader you are, is that, again, once the dust settles, and I don't anticipate we'll ever go back to things exactly as they were, but as the crisis calms down, as we get control over things, to take some time and really look at, gee, what are some of the improvements we've made? How do we keep those? And how do we also look at the things that maybe didn't work so well and kind of get those out of the way, you know, as quickly as possible, right? Like kind of the post-analysis.
Yes.
Quick, rapid, not stuck in it, and then keep moving. Does that sound like something you'd probably be doing?
Oh, absolutely. We already starting to think about things already, you know, because we're going to start to, you know, the road to recovery. So we're planning on how we're going to do things differently. What's working great? You know, how can we expand on things and capitalize on some of this energy that we've built, and, you know, relationships that have emerged as part of this. You know, I mentioned before all the community coming together. I mean, there have been community supporters for us that I never knew existed, and they're sending us all kinds of donations and food. And so, you know, I told my team, make sure you know, keep track of everybody, because we want to make sure that they're part of our extended family, our extended community, when we come out of this, because, you know, there will be another one of these. You know, and they talk, all the experts are talking about, you know, COVID-2, which is imminently, positioned for the fall, is what everyone is saying, what the experts are saying, which will test us even more differently, because it could potentially be mixed with the usual flu season. Mm-hmm. So COVID and the flu hitting us at the same time is going to be a real, real test. So, yes. But we're going to be prepared because, you know, so we were prepared. We were sort of prepared this time around, but now we're going to be super prepared.
Well, absolutely. Yes. There's only so much preparation one could have done. And so much is a lot, but yeah, without having had the actual experience of this thing hitting, yeah, right now you have preparation plus experience, you put that together, and it makes you even better prepared for the next go round.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, I'm glad to hear that, and I'm not surprised that you're thinking about, you know, how do you prepare for the next, you know, the next challenge, in this case, maybe the next crisis, but how do you make sure that you are in the best possible position? These are the conversations I actually love to have with my clients. You know, I work with other healthcare and pharmaceutical and actually all kinds of industry leaders, and these conversations, both with the CEOs and their teams around what are we doing especially well, how do we pivot as circumstances change, and mm-hmm, how do we, you know, make sure we're taking advantage of the relationships that we're forming and the new best practices and the innovations. Mm-hmm. It's really important, and you would think it happens all the time, but you know what happens, right? I think life gets very busy.
Yep.
We all go back to the stuff that's automatic and familiar and the way we've done things for many, yep, many years. So,
but you know what's unique here is that this wasn't just a week or two. I mean, this has been months now, 2 months into it, and so this is starting to become your way of life. So I think going back to whatever it was, it's going to feel weird and strange. So I think that there's going to be certainly a much more of an appetite to stay the way we are, or at least to capitalize on the things that worked,
yes,
rather than going back to the way it was, because it really, it doesn't make sense to go back there, because we're never gonna, we're not even as humanity, as a society, or will we ever be the same. Mm-hmm. Like, don't you find yourself, if you're watching a movie or a TV show and you see people close and touching and hugging, and you go, oh my god, there's no social distancing.
Yes. Right. So we've lived our entire lives, and you know about how old I am, we don't have to say it out loud, but it's plenty of it. We've lived years and years, decades, you know, being, you know, if anybody was right here, you'd say, well, you're in my face. But other than that, right, everybody's pretty close. But yes, now wait, that's not 6 feet apart.
I know.
Put on a mask, stay away from one another.
I know.
In 2 months.
And I saw someone the other day walking without a mask, and I just felt he looked strange.
Yes.
Wait, where's your face covering? So
well,
I don't.
This might be extreme, but I parked my car today. I just, you know, I had to go pick something up at the store with mask, you know, the sanitizer, you know, full disclosure, I'm doing all the right things. But I was in an almost empty parking lot, and I came out to my car after a few minutes in the store, and the next car was parked right next to me. And I thought, why is that car right next to my car? There's a whole parking lot here. Give me some space.
Yeah,
the person wasn't in the car. But
it's true. We're never going to be the same as society ever again. I mean, this has really changed us. I mean, just like any crisis, like 9/11 changed us forever.
Forever.
Yes. You know, it changed us forever. And so I think this will be even deeper and, you know, more, you know, longstanding, the changes that, you know.
I agree. When 9/11 hit, my daughter was just about two. My son wasn't yet born. Now I have an almost 21-year-old, almost 17-year-old. So they only know a post 9/11 world, and their children will only know a post COVID-19 world.
That's true.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah. Before I let you go, Debbie, what's one positive that you have observed that you really think will stick, and that you really want to see stick?
I think it's the whole of community. I think it's the bonding of people at all levels, you know, recognizing and respecting each other, differently than we had before. I think it's just, you know, people sticking together and, you know, knowing that we've survived this and that we're stronger for it. I think that will carry through for generations to come, is how we look at each other as a society. You know, I think that's something that really has been a positive in all of this. You know, we're all in this together, whether in the same boat or not, but we're all in this together. And, you know, and just the kindness that has emerged as part of this, you know, thinking about everyone, people that don't have jobs, you know, people that can't feed themselves, you know, the kids with the distant learning. I think all of that will really resonate for years to come.
Yes. Yeah, I think you're right. And I do think that message of community support and humanity and we're all in this together is very, very powerful.
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
So I'd like you to take a moment and tell folks if they'd like to learn more about you and your the hospital system and the staff, you know, what's the best way to get some more information?
So we have a website, www.newbridgehealth.org. Me personally, I'm on all social media. So I'm on Facebook and LinkedIn and Instagram. So, you know, you can always find me. And, you know, we have a great team of people that welcome, you know, connections and welcome support and, you know, both ways we'll give support and we always can use support and assistance and always looking for new friends. So anything that,
Yeah, well, and we've been friends for 10 years, and I think we'll be friends for a long, long time.
I can't believe it's been 10 years now that you said it. It's like incredible. But yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah. Well, and of course, if anyone would like any more information about me and the work that I do with fantastic leaders like Debbie and her team, feel free to reach out to me at liz@lizbywater.com. You can check out the website, simple, lizbywater.com, LinkedIn, Twitter, all that good stuff. So, Debbie, thank you so much for all the wonderful work you're doing. Stay safe, be well, take care of your family. And I know you and I will be speaking again very soon.
Yeah, thank you, Liz. And you stay safe and be well too. Thank you.